Live from New York, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to talk about the power of coenzyme Q10. Plus, what happens when you have an unfavorable rise in your homocysteine. It's not good, but I'll tell you how to correct it. Also, vitamin D deficiency. It contributes directly to respiratory distress syndrome. We shouldn't have any vitamin D deficiency. Real veggies fight real migraines. From Banaras Hindu University in India. From the National Institutes of Health, and from Copenhagen University Hospital, and from the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease, all of our material comes from primary, important institutions. It's just not off the back of the cart someplace. Even vitamin C deficiency, how it wreaks havoc on your thyroid gland, which is one of the reasons many of you suffer from hypothyroidism or underactive thyroid. And we will talk more on health and healing. But we're also going to talk about the environment and what happens when drought hits a tree. I'll take you through a short piece on that and why it's so important that we understand the consequences of this drought. Also, the oligarch's election, Patrick Martin. I'm going to also play a clip that many will have heard when you were young. And no one hears today, and especially the young people. It's from the movie, a Frank Capra great film, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And when a man gets up, played by Jimmy Stewart, to filibuster against the corruption inside Congress. I want you to listen to something that was recorded over 70 years ago, and you tell me if every single statement he's uttering is not absolutely applicable today. But here's my question. Where are the Mr. Smiths in our legislative body today? Also today, from Christian Parenti, the making of the American police state. How do we end up with millions behind bars and police armed like soldiers? Also, profit over safety. The CDC is now going to release 271 new vaccines. For those of you who support Hillary Clinton, just remember, you really don't know all that she's about. I'll give you one piece today. Original research from David Siorda. They accumulated on the Trans-Pacific Partnership 45 separate speeches she made before countries and their legislative directorates in support of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, pushing it hard. Now, that's 45 times. She could have gotten it right. Instead, she got it wrong. Now she's going to posture like she is for us. She isn't. The water crisis is here. I'll share that with you about how bad it is and what we can do from Sherwood Ross from Op-Ed News. Also, Gerald Salante. We're going to talk about two issues that should get more attention. One is, what's happening in Europe? It's imploding. What's happening to foreign countries? They're imploding. What's happening to commodities? Commodities like oil and gold and other commodities, they're tanking. What does it mean? Where should we be looking? Also today, the truth about Cecil the lion and trophy hunting. We'll share that with you. And we'll also share today a commentary from Matthew Cook about race that I feel that is very enlightening. Let's begin we know that there's two ways to get your veggies. One is that you can be very conscious and try to get those that are very rich in color, like a plum or a carrot or a yellow pepper or a purple pepper. All of the colors show that they have a variety of polyphenols and phytonutrients. Iceberg lettuce really shouldn't be deemed food, let alone important in our meal. So yesterday, I spoke with a man who said, I have not eaten a vegetable in my adult life, not a single thing of color, until I came to this retreat. Now, this man's morbidly obese. He's not old, but he is not healthy. His wife is into health and tries to be very conscious, but he chooses to eat what he likes to eat. He should pay attention to this study out of Banaras Hindu University in India, a major institution, and the Journal of Computational Biology and Drug Design published it. Quote, researchers in India have investigated compounds present in live green real veggies that might have physiological activity to treat the painful inflammatory conditions migraine. And then it goes on to talk about, well, this audience knows, you know, that a migraine is it's a neurological condition. It's characterized by overexcitability of certain active proteins in the brain, which leads to inflammatory pain and other symptoms. And it is about 300% more common in women than men. It's known to be a calcitonin gene-regulated peptide, or what is called a CGRP. It's involved in triggering a migraine, and so drug development is focused on searching for small molecules that bind to this peptide and block its action. Hence, you block the pain. Unfortunately, most of those that are active in the laboratory have failed to be developed further because they're generally metabolized before they ever reach the brain, meaning when you take it into your stomach digests it and it doesn't get to the brain. Most of it ends up as a toxic residue in your liver. Now, the Department of Molecular and Human Genetics at Banaras Hindu University have found that something that gets through the blood-brain barrier and does the molecular docking and absorption and distribution, metabolism, excretions, and toxic modeling is these vegetables and the extracts of vegetables. And they say it creates great detoxification of your liver, and that's important. And it also comes from cabbage and broccoli and parsley. And it's the specific ingredients are called sulforaphane and glucosinolates and indole-3 carbonyls and then carnitine from carrots and betaine from beetroots. And you put all this together, and in the laboratory, for the first time, they're claiming that they can get this to cross the blood-brain barrier and turn off or prevent migraines. That's phenomenal. Except everyone in this audience has been doing this for decades. Isn't it amazing? They come up with something that they're beating their chests on, and gee whiz. Let me see. How many times have we spoken about the cruciferous family and getting your cruciferous vegetables every day? Not just cabbage or broccoli, but Brussels sprouts and asparagus and mustard and radishes and kale and all of that. And then we've talked 1,000 times about indole-3 carbonyl helping to get into the brain and help people who have dementia, Alzheimer's, sulforaphane, which protects against breast cancer, and carrots, which contain all forms of carotenoids, which protect against heart disease and cancer, and beetroot. All the time, we're talking about beets, and not just because of the betaine, but when you're taking your juices, your smoothies, when you're eating these, or when you're taking their compounded powders, you're flooding the body with these. And that's why one of the things you hear people say, gee, I don't have the migraines I used to have. But it's good that they finally figured this out in the university, And hopefully in time, it'll get out to the mainstream media. Now, there's a good deal of vitamin D outdoors every day. You get it from the sun, unless you put on a thick sunscreen, in which case you don't get it from the sun. But if you get about a half hour's worth of direct sunlight over about one-third of your body, you will get enough to produce anywhere from 10 to 20,000 units of vitamin D. If you take a supplement of, let's say, 5,000 units of vitamin D, you'll be getting a good amount too. According to the University of Warwick, which is in the United Kingdom, they have done some serious research showing that, quote, vitamin D deficiency, meaning you don't have enough, has been implicated as a pathogenic factor in sepsis, meaning infection of the blood, and intensive therapy unit and mortality, meaning you're more likely to die, and it can also impact your breathing. If you have acute respiratory distress syndrome, you're more likely to die if you don't have vitamin D. That's the takeaway message. Quote from the article, scientific article, "This deficiency of vitamin D appears to contribute to the development of the condition and approaches to correct vitamin D deficiency in patients at risk of ARDS should be developed." Let me think about that for a moment. They want you to develop what should be developed. How about take a vitamin D tablet every day? That's all you have to do. It's that simple. But in the language of Big Pharma, they see this kind of article. They say, let's develop a vitamin D patentable drug and charge $1,000 a pill. No, just take your vitamin D, get some sunlight, eat some foods that have vitamin D, or take a supplement. When I'm talking with people, I frequently find that they're unaware of their hormone levels, especially four particular markers in the body that are impacted by hormones, including stress hormones. One of those is C-reactive protein, cardiac C-reactive protein, which when it's up, it means you're more likely of having a heart attack or stroke and dying. Homocysteine, when it's elevated, more likely to have a heart attack, stroke, or cancer. Fibrinogen, heart attack or stroke. Triglycerides, heart attack or stroke. So it's important to know about twice a year an inexpensive, easy, painless little blood test. What are your blood markers for inflammatory conditions in the body? Now, when you take aspirin to help prevent a stroke, it will thin the blood, but it also causes bleeding. And a minimum of 25,000 people die each year in the United States from aspirin. And if you don't die, you end up destroying folic acid, B6, vitamin C, and B12. What do you need then? Is you need B12, folic acid, vitamin C, trimethylglycine. All of those will help bring down homocysteine levels. Now, when you get the homocysteine levels down into the safe range, 6, 7, that's good. You've really protected your heart. You're ensuring, as best you can in that circumstance, the least likelihood of having a heart attack or stroke. If you're not aware of the power of homocysteine, do so. Because you don't have the right nutrients, it's going to elevate. If you're under stress, it can elevate it, and that could put you at harm's way. This is from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. This is from the National Institute of Health. Quote, an article published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition this week reports on the outcome of a study of older women who found an increased risk of osteoporosis of the lumbar spine among those with higher levels of a particular acid, what is called a methylmalonic acid. And that is generally because they are deficient in B12 and the potentially damaging amino acid homocysteine. quote, researchers at the National Institutes of Health utilized information from 2,800 women ages 50 and older to participate in the National Women Health and Nutrition Examination Survey for a period of 5 years. And what they found is women are developing lumbar spine problems because their homocysteine level is up, their folic acid level and B12 levels are down. Simple. Increase folic acid. 1 milligram from methylated folic acid, folate. B12, 1 milligram from methylated B12. 50 milligrams of B6, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and 1,000 milligrams of trimethylglycine. That brings down your homocysteine level and prevents the risk of lumbar osteoporosis. Hence, a lot of people could no longer be suffering. And finally, I want you to know a little more about why we should be consuming coenzyme Q10. The fact that coenzyme Q10 is involved in the prevention of so many conditions should be a surprise to no one. Thousands of articles in the peer-reviewed literature. Coenzyme Q10 is present in every cell of your body. It's ubiquitous in nature. And in fact, it gave rise to other names like ubiquinone and ubiquinol. Ubiquinone and ubiquinol and coenzyme Q10, they all mean the same thing. Q10 may help to protect against a number of conditions: heart failure, cardiac arrhythmias, cardiomyopathy, Parkinson's, Gulf War illness, septic shock, Huntington's disease, inflammation, breast cancer, chronic fatigue syndrome, depression, fibromyalgia, ataxia, and autism. Yes, autism. I recommend coenzyme Q10 to the parents who have autistic children as much as they can use. It's successful in relieving depression and fatigue and multiple sclerosis. It has improved blood sugar control in diabetics, and it's also one of the ways men become more fertile. It increases cellular energy. That's right. Imagine coenzyme Q10 as the fuel that you're putting into a furnace. It causes the burning, and that means that your cell's mitochondria have something they can live with and generate what is called adenosine triphosphate, or ATP. That's the molecule dubbed the energy currency of life. Now, the greatest concentrations of coenzyme Q10 can be found in organs that have a high energy requirement, such as your heart. And according to some of the most significant benefits of the compound, including a reduction in death and heart failure. If you are a person who has had a stroke or a heart attack, with your doctor's awareness, then you should be having coenzyme Q10. And by the way, when you take statin drugs, you actually reduce your coenzyme Q10. In fact, high blood levels of coenzyme Q10 were found to improve survival in a group of heart failure patients over a period of 5 years. Remember again, statin drugs reduce coenzyme Q10 levels. In fact, research shows statins, which are the cholesterol-reducing drugs, lower it. An Italian study found a 40% decline in coenzyme Q levels in patients treated with the statin drugs. And similar research showed decreased levels of coenzyme Q10 within 2 weeks of beginning treatment. And although the results are known, it doesn't seem to make a difference to those cardiologists and others who are advocating statin drugs. So that's what I want you to know. I want you to look at the power and positiveness of coenzyme Q10. It could save lives. It is my opinion, based upon all my knowledge of the heart and health, that if every American adult began to use 100 milligrams a day, and every year increased it by 100 milligrams for 10 years of coenzyme Q10 a day, and took 400 units of mixed tocopherol vitamin E twice a day and 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C in divided doses, like 1,000 every, 3 hours, 2 hours, that we would reduce the incidence of stroke, hypertension, and heart attacks by 50%. And that would save us about 300,000 to 400,000 lives, American lives, every year. And it would also save the suffering of all those people who are going to miss someone who dies or take care of someone who is going through recovery. I'm Gary Noll. We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we're going to hear some truths that generally are not shared anywhere today. Please stay with us. Everyone. Now, let's hear some truths that hopefully will resonate.
Demonstration on how to race bait. First, let's talk about some of the stereotypes expressed in the 17th and 18th centuries. The vile and brutish parts of mankind, the marks of an alien race. Those were how the gentleman class described whites, poor whites to be exact, from Europe. Many of whom were duped by a con game, promised an all-expense-paid trip to the New World in return for years of free labor on the other side. Then there were those sentenced to work for 5 to 7 years of forced labor. In the 1700s alone, over 50,000 documented white men and women were shipped to the colonies and auctioned off as labor for crimes from petty theft to trespassing or pickpocketing. A slave was considered unfortunate, not inferior. To become a slave in the ancient world was not based on skin color, but the result of being losing side in a war. White indentured servants 400 years ago were seen as more or less the same as African slaves. They also made easy alliances, raging against greed, unfair taxes, oppressive land use regulations, and in the 1670s, one of those alliances nearly burned Jamestown to the ground. And the last to surrender were 100 men, 80 black and 20 white. And a law enforcement system was created to give whites slightly more privileges and force a separation in their contact with blacks. This three-tiered caste system, blacks on the bottom and poor whites a notch above, now treated more favorably, made them feel as though one day they might improve their status if they just worked hard enough. And maybe some did, but most did not, especially as the life expectancy was only 35. As all rights and freedoms were taken from Africans, this new racial caste system protected the wealthy landowners, who in the South would soon become known as the masters. And if you're interested in reading more about this, there's a page-turning thriller, not exaggerating, called The People's History of the United States, which you can download as an audiobook to support this series. The creation of that three-tiered caste system is the moment the modern institution of racial slavery is born, which would brutalize, divide, and crush the spirits of black men, women, and children for the next 200 years, and give many poor whites the idea that though their lives might be miserable, at least they weren't black. Until 1863. And as Michelle Alexander writes in The New Jim Crow, former slaves had a brief moment in the sun before they returned to a state akin to slavery or worse. The unprecedented economic might of the new United States, built on the backs of an enormous free slave labor force, would arguably be the single greatest factor contributing to what would soon become the world's largest modern superpower. And in gratitude, instead of helping freed slaves find homes, reunite with families, or help anyone, at the very least, heal from a 300-year-old trauma, they were largely neglected by the North. faced rampant disease, outbreaks of smallpox, cholera, many starved to death, and for the next 100 years, this thing called Jim Crow just took over for slavery. Enforced by government, courts, and law officers, forcing a continuation of an already well-established racial caste system on every aspect of American life. Ministers said whites were the chosen people, blacks cursed to be servants. God supported racial segregation. Craniologists, eugenicists, phrenologists, and social Darwinists at every educational level reinforced the belief that blacks were in every way inferior to whites. Massive social disadvantages, compounded by predatory lending and housing markets, and legally regulating blacks into ghettos, discriminatory bank lending practices, severe job discrimination, not to mention the lynchings, all continued until the 1960s. Now we're only talking 50 years ago. We finally have the Civil Rights Act. Black nationalism and black power. Black pride. For the first time, a public promise of opportunity after three centuries of the opposite. Communities getting to police their own streets. But the black pride forces are soon struck down by the law and order movement. And what takes the place of what was once called Jim Crow? The invention of the largest prison industry in the world, in the form of new laws, tougher laws, more laws, longer sentences, mandatory minimums, more prisons, more police, and the barbaric war on drugs, which should be called the war on people. Where blacks are far more likely to be arrested for selling or possessing drugs than whites, even though whites use drugs at the same rate, and are actually more likely to sell drugs. Blacks who've committed the exact same crimes as whites are more likely to be arrested, prosecuted, more likely to have longer prison sentences. Families deprived of breadwinners and once again deprived of the right to vote. Generations sentenced to a revolving door in and out of a prison system so unstoppable that one out of three black men born today can expect to go to prison in their lifetime. And so despite the existence of so many notable, heroic black, brown, and white cops saving lives and rescuing victims from unimaginable horrors across the country, righteous lawyers, wise judges, honest legislators doing great things that cannot and should never be overlooked, overall, black America has never seen a substantive break in law enforcement service to larger forces ever on the wrong side of history. Policing for petty regulatory violations like failure to use a turn signal or lacking a front license plate. And so here we are today. 30% of America are minorities, but represent 60% of the prison population. Over 1 million men and women. And so the majority of black America, 70%, understandably have little trust in law enforcement or the criminal justice system. But don't be fooled. This prison industrial complex has not only swept up black America, but all people of limited means, hunting minorities and the poor at rates higher than any other on the planet. This thing grew bigger than anyone could have imagined. It's militarized and increased in scope and aggression. And as racist as it clearly is, even if we took all the minorities out of the equation, leaving only the white majority, we would still be over-incarcerated. We would still have vile police brutality. We would still have a criminal justice system desperately in need of reform. So just like the days of early slavery, today we still have a three-tiered system. With notable exceptions, slightly more than half of black Americans graduate from high school, compared to three-quarters of white Americans. And black males are twice as likely to be unemployed as white males. Moving on to the second tier, we have poor whites, treated the second worst as a whole. With many more notable exceptions, so many you'd think it wasn't the case, white America is also in very bad shape. The real poverty rate for the U.S. as a whole is staggeringly close to 50%. We have a myth of social mobility that is one of the worst in the industrialized world due to decades of disinvestment from communities sending cheap labor overseas, leaving depressed, isolated local economies with no jobs, a dwindling tax base, and nothing to attract business or new residents. And why is this? As the great journalist Emily Cleith says, we should never say the word poverty without the words inequality and injustice being far behind. People become poor not by personal failing, but because the system is engineered to push them down and keep them down. Yet despite numerous horrific incidents of police brutality and criminal injustice against whites, the beating of a homeless man or a horse thief to near death or to death, or the million whites in prison, unprecedented in our nation's history, the majority of whites today, 57%, still have quite a lot, or a great deal of confidence in police, and a majority think the justice system is fair. The poor whites and victims of criminal injustice and inequality are spread out across the country and heavily divided by culture and politics. The so-called liberal or conservative news media is owned by 6 mega media companies that control 90% of our information. Those companies are owned by the very rich. According to Forbes, the 400 wealthiest Americans today have more money than the poorer half of the entire population of the United States. While less than 4% of our entire country are millionaires, they make up over half the members of Congress. Well, who do you think millionaires represent? The elite who run the country, in a different revolving door of economic royalty, have demonstrated certainly that they are above prosecution. So with a news media that mostly reports only on the black outrage at police brutality, which is and has been at a boiling point for the last 300 years, the white majority is confused. They make all kinds of assumptions, and the white minority, who are aware of the horrors of the criminal injustice system, but unaware of the history of black America, feel themselves being lumped in with the elites. When they scream at Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson and call them race baiters, they're right to scream, but they're screaming at the wrong faces. The media is terrified to let the mass of Americans know the truth about our 3-tiered caste system alive and well and keeping us divided. Why do I need to identify with those ancestors before me that committed genocide and not only enslaved, but brutalized a people who in chains and in struggle for civil rights created and inspired some of the greatest art, music, culture, writing, ideas, invention, and humanity the world has ever seen? I identify with being part of that struggle. I don't need to be proud of my blood because the same color red gives life to us all. I don't need to be proud of the color of my skin because I was never told I needed to be ashamed of it. True shame is only for those who have hate in their hearts, and that can be healed. I don't need to be proud of my religion because all the great religions warn us against pride. I am privileged to be a white, straight male in a society that favors those traits for which I had nothing to do with. Favors I might not even know I had. I grew up poor. There were a few years I was homeless. But I did not grow up black, and I was blessed in my childhood to see the difference. To paraphrase Van Jones, even in a hoodie, I look less like Trayvon than I do like Mark Zuckerberg. So along the way in forming my identity as a human being, I choose to identify with all of humanity in a struggle for harmony. You are my ally, and I am yours. I don't need to be better than someone else to feel good about myself. I need to feel the same. I acknowledge racism as existing and alive as it ever was, and in doing so, I eliminate any invented wall between us. When we ally ourselves with a movement that's been asking to just acknowledge for 4 odd centuries how overdue it is to just say 3 words, Black Lives Matter. Then united, we are a power that will shake the masters to their core. Yes, I say masters of the global economy that exploits not only our own nation but the entire planet. The masters of the commercial news, the military-industrial complex, prison complex, the overwhelming majority of the government. The masters corrupted by the influence too much power has on all human beings. For injustice and inequality are one and the same. Black, brown, white, sisters, brothers. The class struggle unites us all, as it always has. And race baiters, you are exposed.
If you've just joined us, I'm Gary Nall. Sharing insights in different aspects of the social and human condition. And we're going to go to our guest, Gerald Salante, in just a moment. But before we go to Gerald, I'd like you to hear what was a segment of a movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And then think about the problems we face today, the people who are rich enough, who want their needs met, and are able to control the legislation. They select the president before he is elected, the farce we call a democratic system. We'll play just a few minutes of it, and then we'll go to Gerald Salante for his comments. And
that's up on top of this Capitol dome, that lady that stands for liberty. Take a look at this country through her eyes if you really want to see something. And you won't just see scenery. You'll see the whole parade of what man's carved out for himself after centuries of fighting. And fighting for something better than just jungle. So he can stand on his own 2 feet, free and decent, like he was created. No matter what his race, color, or creed. That's what you see. There's no place out there for graft, or greed, or lies, or compromise with human liberties. And that, if that's what the grown-ups have done with this world that was given to them, then we better get those boys' camps started fast and see what the kids can do. And it's not too late. Because this country is bigger than the tailors,
or you or me or anything else. Great principles don't get lost once they come to light. They're right here. You just have to see them again.
I guess this is just another lost cause, Mr. Payne. All you people don't know about lost causes. Mr. Payne does. He said once they were the only causes worth fighting for. And he fought for them once. For the only reason any man ever fights for them. Because of just one plain, simple rule. Love thy neighbor. And in this world today, full of hatred, a man who knows that one rule has a great trust. You know that rule, Mr. Payne. And I loved you for it just as my father did. And you know that you fight for the lost causes harder than for any others. Yes, you even die for them. Like a man we both knew, Mr. Payne. You think I'm licked. You all think I'm licked. Well, I'm not licked. And I'm going to stay right here and fight for this lost cause. Even if this room gets filled with lies like these. And the tailors and all their armies come marching into this place. Somebody will listen to me.
Okay, just fainted.
Oh. Okay.
What's the matter?
I'm not fit to be a senator. I am not fit to live. Expel me! Expel me, not him. Will it carry the fall? It's a crime against the people who sent me here, and I committed it. Every word that boy said is the truth. Every word about Taylor and me and Graft and the rotten political corruption of my state. Every word of it is true. I'm not fit for office. I'm not fit for any place of honor or just. Expel me!
Wouldn't it be interesting to hear our legislators at the state level who've sold out to Alex, our commentators, the Bill Reilly's, the Sean Hannity's, all of the people on MSNBC who may in their self-righteous contempt for the truth believe in themselves, our presidents going clear back to FDR, possibly the exception of Eisenhower, all have compromised on that which is essential, no longer honoring all life. And that, his comments rang true. Let's now go up to Rhinebeck, New York. We're standing by. It's Gerald Salante. Hi, Gerald.
Hello, Gary.
Gerald is a trendsetter. That means he looks at the world. He doesn't guess. He's not an alchemist of economies or social issues. He does an analysis. He looks for the truth without aligning himself to any political, religious, or economic principle. Simply says, what is the truth? So, Gerald, I'm going to put three things forward to you, and I'd like you to take your time and tell us what you see coming, since what most people don't see is what's behind all of the efforts to disguise the crisis that's quickly approaching the tsunami. I'd like you to talk about the truth behind the largest economy in the world, which is not the United States, and it's not China. It's the European Union. There are more people spending more money on more things, and there are more people involved in the European Union, and yet it's never given attention. I need you to tell us the truth about real unemployment, the fact that they're cannibalizing themselves, the fact that whole countries there, Italy, bankrupt, Spain, bankrupt, Portugal, bankrupt, Ireland, bankrupt, Greece, bankrupt. They'll never be able to get out of this debt. And they're squeezing the people to the point of breaking, just like Jimmy Stewart. And in the United States, we're told that we're flourishing, that it's all behind us. I want you to tell us the truth about what should have been the first sign. It's like sitting on the beach and watching the water suddenly go back a mile. And you think, isn't that interesting? All the water just went back. Yeah, and there's a 400-foot tsunami coming at you in the next moment. Talk about commodities that never get discussed in the United States and why when the prices fall out of the bottom of the commodity market, that is a harbinger of what's about to happen. Talk about the manipulation of gold and silver. Talk about the increased value of the dollar now being the strongest currency in the world, where it has absolutely positively nothing backing it up. And the fact that it's all illusion, but everyone's terrified of everything else, so they're rushing to the dollar, not realizing how the Federal Reserve has massively manipulated it. So tell us about what you see from your perspective. The forum is yours.
Okay, on the on Europe, first of all, what happened on July 5th was a bright spot for a fleeting moment, and that was that the Greek people had the right to decide for themselves whether or not they wanted to accept the austerity measures handed down to them by the Troika, the European Central Bank, the European Union, and the IMF. The people voted 62% against accepting the austerity measures. So here we have Greece, the country that created democracy, 1 week later killed it. They told the people, we don't care what you want. And this is the Syriza government. This is the Tsipras, the prime minister. We don't care what you voted for. We're going to impose austerity measures, actually, that are even worse than the ones that you voted against. That's a fact. The ones that they pushed through were worse than the ones they voted for a week earlier, on July 5th. What that really signals, and everybody should wake up to it because it goes back to the European Union and what's going on with the recessions and depressions going on in that area and what's going on in the United States, they could care less about the people. We don't count. You just saw it with the country, again, that created democracy, brought about a referendum for direct democracy, and then just killed it in front of everybody's eyes. So when we talk about what's going on and the rigging of the markets, let's be very clear about this. Again, this isn't a conspiracy theory. The markets are rigged at every level. We just saw they punished some guy for rigging the LIBOR, the Forex markets, the currency markets. He was a small fish in the whole thing. And he even said the first day of his trial that they knew right from the top what was going on. Six banks in the United States were convicted, not accused, convicted of felonies for rigging the LIBOR rates, the interest rates, and the Forex market, the currency market, which is traded at $5.3 trillion a day. Not one head rolled. So I say it's a banking takeover, nothing's really changed since the days of Jesus Christ chasing the money changers out of the temple. So what happens? It's a neo-feudal society. Mr. Smith goes to Washington, and I'm listening to that, and the passion and the speaking. I'm sure you saw that video that was put up yesterday on YouTube about some cop in California harassing this guy in a totally suburban neighborhood. Nothing to do with black or white on this one. Guy's white as snow. In a suburban neighborhood, the cop gets out of his car, his SUV, and pulls a gun on the guy because he's taking photos of him. And he accuses the guy, he said to him, quote, what are you, some kind of constitutionalist? It could not be clearer. You are not allowed to be a constitutionalist because, after all, they've killed the Constitution. They've destroyed the Bill of Rights. It goes back to bankism. It's called the merger of state and corporate powers, which Mussolini called fascism. So what we have now, Gary, is a neo-feudal society. Again, going back to seeing what happened with Greece. There's two sets of laws in a feudal society. One is for the political nobility, and the other one's for the economic elite. They have separate rules. You went over the 5 miles over the speed limit. Where'd you come from? Do you have anything to drink? Get out of your car. Put your hands on the roof. Give me your license and registration. You had your brights on you when you were passing that guy. Pull over. One, they'll break our chops for every little thing, but again, six major banks get accused of felonies, convicted. Not one head rolls. So now it goes back to what's going on with the economy, why is this happening, and you have this neo-feudal state that we live in with where the police have become the enforcers for the crime bosses. I'd like to see that little tough guy pulling out his gun, pulling that stunt on a Jamie Dimon or a Lloyd Blankfein from Goldman Sachs gang or the Merrill Lynch mob people for robbing us of our money and ruining so many millions of lives and rigging the markets and all of these dirty deals they did with mortgages and on. They'll never happen. They only get tough with us. So what I believe is that we are on the precipice, right as we speak, of a major financial collapse. All of it is in front of us, and you mentioned about commodities. We're looking at oil prices now, and this is the height of the driving season. They're now down, Brent crude is now down below $50 a barrel. And it's over down 50% from a year ago. It's bigger than that. Commodities have crashed around the world. It's not only oil, so people want to say Saudi Arabia is doing this so to punish the shale people and to get them out of business and against rights. Nothing to do with that. There's too much supply and not enough demand. We just are watching the implosion of the Chinese equity markets. The Shanghai index is down some 30%. And they're rigging the markets in front of us. You're not allowed to do any short sales. If you have a lot of grade A stock, you can't sell them for 6 months. They put in over $400 billion to prop it up. We're watching that market unravel. It's still down. They can't prop it back up. China is in a slump. China imports over 50% of the iron ore, the copper, the coal, and the other raw materials coming out of resource-rich nations. Look what's going on in Canada, an oil-rich resource nation. Oil prices are plummeting. Canada is in a recession. The Canadian dollar is at 2004 levels. Australia, iron ore, natural resources, the Aussie dollar down to a six-year low. Brazil, natural resource, agriculture resource rich. The Brazilian real is at a 13-year low, one after another. The crash is in currencies, they're plummeting. The crash is in commodities. The only thing that's holding up the equity markets, as you well know and your listeners, is the record low interest rates. What's it going on, 9 years now or something? 0% interest rates that allow the big companies to buy back their stock, borrowing money for nothing, to drive up the equity markets, and number two, the merger and acquisitions. How many more days do people have to pick up the news and read, either this pharmaceutical company merged with that one for $30 billion, transportation company merged with that one after another, name the field, whatever business they're merging virtually every week, record numbers higher than it was during 2007. Now, go back to energy. We had the big shale boom, 2009. So all of this rush is going on. Everybody's jumping in. The junk bonds right now, Gary, 15% of them, which is a huge number, are energy related. So now you're seeing all of these boom towns crashing, all of the hedge funds that loan this money, all of the big energy companies that are now reporting losses that they haven't reported in 20 years, like Chevron, ExxonMobil, one after another. It's collapsing in front of us. But again, that Malaysian airline, that's the number one story. They shot a lion. Oh, wow. It's terrible. I love animals. Hey, how many did they kill in Gaza last year at this time? At only 2,000. What's going on in Yemen right now? Oh, it's only about 4,000 being bombed by the Saudis. They're dead in the poorest country in the Middle East. But how about that lion? And as I was listening, waiting to go on the air, the person speaking, and you well know the fact, you repeat it often, that six companies control 90% of the media. So people are not prepared for what's going on. The signposts are in front of us. The trend posts are clear. I came back from Europe recently. You want to see a migration problem? Go to Italy. You'll see them everywhere. How come? Nobody's talking about it. Who destroyed Libya? I think that was Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, and Susan Rice pushing Obama to do it. Yeah, that's right. And now Libya is in total destruction, total chaos. When Gaddafi was there, he had cut a deal with Italy and the other countries. Nobody's going to be coming through the ports of Libya to go into your countries. Now they're flooding in. They're flooding in. How come? Oh, well, Libya's destroyed, and Assad has to go. Wonderful. Now you have over 4 million Syrian refugees, over 300,000 dead. Oh, and what about Iraq? Well, a year ago, our commander-in-chief, I'm sure you remember, he got on the stage over there. We're going to save them Yazidis on the mountain. No, we're not going back into Iraq. This is they're enslaving Yazidi women, and they're torturing the Yazidis. Nobody knows what a Yazidi is, and we don't know about them anymore because they're not talking about them, because here we are back in Iraq. It was a sham to keep that war going. So the migrant problem is huge. And then when you look at the population numbers, from 100,000 years ago to 1900, it took all that time to put 1.6 billion people on the planet. In 100 years, we've added 5.2 billion. And now you have all this destabilization going on throughout the Middle East, crashing economies throughout Africa, destabilization. So the worst is coming. It's in front of us.
Give us an idea of when, realizing it's subjective, but when do you see the American economies, because we don't have one economy, we have about seven, beginning to implode to where it can no longer be avoided or hidden or denied?
You mentioned why it's hard to say, and you've talked about the manipulation before, and I mentioned Forex and LIBOR rates. Let's look at gold. I talked about the Shanghai markets. The Shanghai Gold Exchange, when gold took the last big crash down, they usually trade 16 tons a day on the Shanghai Exchange. In 2 minutes, they shorted 33 tons of gold. 2 minutes, 33 tons of gold. So what I'm saying, and I mentioned to you how they're rigging the Shanghai markets now, I only mentioned some of the things that they're doing. They're taking steps that are unprecedented. Oh, by the way, they also stopped trading in almost 50% of the shares that you weren't allowed to trade them. And now they have limits. If they go down 10%, they cut off trading. So it's hard to pick the time because they come up with these schemes undreamed of to stop the crash from happening. If I were to bet, I would say before the end of this year. Between now
and, how do you see,
and January.
How do you see it manifesting? How will it impact the person listening to this broadcast?
The way it will impact the people listening to the broadcast and everybody else is that you mentioned before about the wealth gap. And a fellow was walking by our offices before, and he used to work at a place called Rotron over here many years ago. He said, 20 years ago, in those days he was a factory worker making $20 an hour, 20 years ago. So now you have people making, the gap between the rich and the poor is the widest in the U.S. than any of the industrialized nations, and we're worse shaped than we were during the Gilded Age. You're going to see people losing their homes. Their taxes are killing them, all the extra expenses are killing them, and if they lose their jobs, so we're going to see another housing crash as well. And of course, they're going to be raising interest rates at some point. But even if they raise them, I don't think they're going to raise them that much. But even a little bit of a raise is going to slow things down a bit. So I think you're going to see the housing is only back halfway in terms of new homes being built when it was at the height of the recession, and we're at record low interest rates. So it's going to hurt people in every way, particularly economically. And again, when you have an economic collapse like the one that is in the cards, you're going to see more and more of a crackdown on our civil liberties and human rights.
I need a quick answer for this. Do you believe that we're in enough pain as a society to protest?
I believe that what Samuel Adams said, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. And the other one that Franklin said, if we don't hang together, surely we'll hang alone. And I think it's just going to take those of us, yourself, me, others, Ralph Nader, and so many others, that have to join together to make it happen, to unify the people that want to march under an umbrella of peace and freedom and joy and beauty that's being robbed from us. So if we don't take it into our own hands, it's lost. And you can see it, you know, the cover of the Trends Journal, the spring edition was the presidential reality show. And we had cowards, liars, freaks, and fools. If I were to make a guess right now, it depends on, of course, tonight and what happens with the first round of debates, I would say that the reality show champion has a good shot of winning the presidency. And that's Donald Trump. He's a reality show pro. And that's all this is, show business for ugly people. So if we leave it in the hands of the people that are in power, the parties that are murderers and thieves, that kill millions around the globe in the names of freedom and democracy, and they're no different than the Bloods and the Crips, and they steal our money in the names of too big to fail, tax breaks, loan guarantees, and you know all the rest. It's up to us. And I think, and I have to say this with all my heart, that the time has never been better now, because the vacuum has never been so large. That's why a guy like Trump could move into it. Hey, it happened with Hitler. Why can't it happen again?
Gerald Celante, Trends Journal. Thank you very much, Gerald. Look forward to our next conversation. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.